Pesach Shechal Shabbos Ulis Halachos. But from next week, the Halachos of Hilchos Leila Seder, the Halachos which are applicable to the night of the Seder Mitzvah. When you get Hilchos Bedikas Chometz, what the Deke Chiev, this year, is a night earlier, instead of being Leil Yotavet, it's Leil Yotgimel this year. And Mekadin, once to the Bedikya, the full Bedikya read on Leil Yotalet. Leil Yotalet is the man when a person does a Bedikya, does a Bedikya together with a Brocha, and by doing the Takonah the way Chazal wanted it, a Laila, with the Oya Avuka, Oya Ne, not Avuka, Oya Ne, that's the way Chazal wanted it, that's the Ikekim of the Halacha of Hilchis Bedikas Chometz. However, better one can do it in advance. The problem of doing it in advance is a double problem. If one does it in advance, in daytime, so one hasn't got the maila of doing it with the oya and the way Chazal wanted it. But you can do it by laila, the other nights before, and it doesn't have to be done dafke leil yudalit. The pasuk say there's a double problem. One problem is, if a person does it before, and he's doing a bedikah without a brocha. And second problem is, it's not the kind of Chazal. Chazal wanted the person should do bedikah on leil yudalit. If the reason is that one has to do bedikya b'leil yudalit, so the chayish we didn't have to leave one room. If the reason is that you're doing a bedikya without a bracha, so the chayish all the bedikyas you do before leil yudalit, you're not makayim that bedikya with a bracha. So the svara is depends on the two reasons. If the reason is that you should do leil yudalit in order to do the takon of chazal, so you didn't have to leave one room behind. If the reason is because you're doing a takon of bedikya beforehand, be done without a bracha. All the rooms you do beforehand will be done without a bracha. However, the makoi that you need to do it together with the bracha is the Chok Yosef, and Chok Yosef says very clearly that as long as you leave behind one room to do with the bracha, then you become the tekon of Chazal. So Meikadin, the person starts already now and does bedikah every night on all his rooms over there. Lo'ya ne'er is makayim the tekon of Chazal b'miluah. As long as he leaves behind the one room that he's going to do b'leil yudalad b'leil yudgimul this year together with the bracha. However, minig ha'olam is to go over, Shem Zalman says that one still does go over, just double check, open the cupboard to check everything's alright. But the Ikka Kim of Bedikya, of Le'aneh, is no Chiyuv to go on Leil Yudalit through all those cupboards. Every cupboard that's done needs a Bedikya Le'aneh. So when one cleans up every cupboard now, from now, leading up to Pesach, really at night, those cupboards should be checked with Le'aneh, and that's the Ikka Kim of Chazal. And that will avoid on the Leil Yudalit taking out all the clothing and checking behind it, even though it'll be Becheskes Paduk over there, we won't become the Chazal, Takon of Chazal, the way they wanted it. So the Zalman, the right way to do it is really right the way through every night to do with the Re'ane, and then they would die just to do that room. Hilchus and Shulchan Aruch is divided into two separate simonim, Simon Tofnun Aleph and Tofnun Beis. Tofnun Beis is the halachas of how man does the Agolas Kelim, and Tofnun Aleph is the halacha of the blias of the everything that one needs to kasha letzerich Pesach. There's various kelim, and each kelim has its own set of halachas, and besides of the kelim, there's various different blias which Chazal were worried about. Klecheres, we know, doesn't help. The blia that goes into Klecheres is in a yitzim l'idofi elo'ilom. The blia that goes inside the Klecheres, it doesn't help to do Hagola. It doesn't help to kasha Klecheres. The only way you can kasha Klecheres is only al yidei libul. Or when you're doing it al yidei agola, it doesn't come out al yidei agola. Make hadin, if a person does libun, libun will help for klecheres, except that we have a chashash that in a normal klecheres, a person won't do the libun properly. Because the person's scared if he's going to put it inside, apply too much temperature to it, too much heat to it, it's going to cause it to break, and therefore you will be careful, you will avoid applying too much heat lechatchila. Therefore, Chazal didn't want that a person should do Libun on a keli where the chashash is not going to do it properly. The keli which Chazal has a chashash for, in the case of Shulchan Aruch, is in a few separate places. One is when it gets to the klecheres, which a person is generally scared about, is not going to want to do it properly. Another case is when it gets to the glue. If a person has a keli which has a sakin, which has a bit of glue on the side of it, and is going to put it, and is going to do libun to it, the libun is going to cause the glue to melt, and therefore even though as the matras he can do a libun to it, about the glue which is there on the clay, on the knife, that he's going to be nervous about, and that he's not going to apply proper libun to it, and that Chazal didn't want you to do it. So every time the person has a keli, always has to first has to be done is a keli that one can kasher or one can't kasher. If it's a keli which is a klecheres, Hagolah is not going to help. Liban will help for klecheres. If it's klei zchuches, we are machmim ikadin on glass. Lechatchila akaponim begat Pesach that klei zchuches has got a din of a klecheres, and if it's got a din of a klecheres, therefore one can't do Agola to a keli that has klecher, which is a zchuches. In Rishonim, there's two reasons in Rishonim when it has a keli, which is a klecheres, which has a thin layer of zchuches, why you can't do Agola to it. Whether the reason is because it's a thin layer of glass on top of the klecheres, therefore we say it's got the same din as the klecheres. And then inside, you've got klecheres, which is covered with a coating of glass on the outside of it, which is very often the case nowadays. A person has china and has glazed on the outside on the china. That glaze on the outside, that thin layer of glass, state one can't kasher it if it's a klecheres on the inside. Why not? There's two reasons in the Rishonim. Either the reason why you can't kasher it is because the glass is bottled to the klecheres on the inside, and since the klecheres absorbs, it causes that the even through the thin layer of glass on the outside of the klecheres, it also absorbs. And therefore, Mamela is got in a klecheres, and therefore you can't kash it. That's one reason. And the other reason that the Shalim say is because when you've got a thin layer of glass, everybody agrees it's not kasherable. If a person has thick glass one can kasher. According to the Machaber, one can kasher. According to the Ramah, one machme on klezchuches not to kasher. But that's all when a person has thick glass. Thin glass, according to that, some Rishonim, everybody agrees one can't kasher. So if a person has China bowl, which is covered with a thin layer of glass on the outside, that's always a problem b'negia to kashing. So klecheres has its problems. In klecheres, one can do libun. If a person has a keli that one uses inside the oven, a person can do klecheres, can do libun to a klecheres. Glass, the minig is that one doesn't kasher.
In Moscow, all use glass. Same glass is for Pesach and
the
same glass in the
year. Shabura says, Chayadim says, the Altamilig was, when it came to place chuches, when a person had glass kalim, that the way one... We'll get to it. We're talking about place chuches. Let's talk about place chuches that's used for hot. We'll get to cold glasses that a person uses usually for cold over there and doesn't use there. I'm not talking about a cup of tea. Okay, we're not talking about a cup of tea. We're talking about glasses that you use hot. You have a cup of tea in that you use the whole year round and hot for chuches. That one shouldn't cash over there. The other kelim we'll get through in a minute. That's going to get to klei zchuches, which is hot. Yeah. Then there's other kelim, which is always one has to take into account when b'liyas. There's always a b'liyah which is an eisen tam lifgam. It means to say a b'liyah which is ene ben yomai is an eisen tam lifgam. Eisen tam lifgam means that b'liyah isn't anymore a good b'liyah, and if it comes out, we say when it comes into the food, the b'liyah which comes out as an eisen tam lifgam hasn't got the same koyach as the original b'liyah, and therefore when it doesn't cause the same damage as usually, hasn't got the chomer of the original b'liyah. And eisen tam lifgam, usually if one cooks in a keli which isn't a ben yomai, and it comes inside the food, and eisen tam lifgam doesn't answer the food. But again, to Pesach, we paskin, also 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, we're machmen in eisen tam lifgam, since chometz for Pesach is also b'kol shu, therefore mabela eisen tam lifgam, even though it's not a proper b'liyah, it's a damaged b'liyah, but some sort of time it's got to it, and therefore since a shvacha b'liyah is also asa, therefore nesim tam lefgam is also b'negeah to Pesach. That's one of the klalim. Another klal which is b'negeah is something which is called the teira bola. That means always when a person has a pot and a b'liyah goes inside, it's a basa b'cholov. Person cooks basa b'cholov. He has now the b'liyah of basa b'cholov inside his pot. That b'liyah which comes inside the pot is a b'liyah shel issa. A b'liyah of basa b'cholov. B'negeah to Pesach, it's a shaila. Do we look at it as a b'liyah shel heta, or does one look at the b'liyah on Pesach as a b'liyah shel issa? The chometz like a b'liyah that one cooks in the whole year round. When it came in throughout the year, it was a normal b'liyah. It wasn't a b'liyah shel issa. When Pesach arrives, that b'liyah turns into issa. So does one say it's a teira bala, or does one say it's a suru bala? Do we say that now it's Pesach and I've got inside this b'liyah inside my pot, so this b'liyah is a b'liyah shel issa? Or do we say, no, the b'liyah which came in is a b'liyah shel heta, and a b'liyah shel heta, which when Pesach arrives, became osa, and therefore b'liyah it's a teira bola. What's a nafkimina? Lots of nafkiminas. Through the Mishneh Berurah, all the way through Hilchos Pesach, is backwards and forwards with the shaila. Is Pesach, the chometz, A teira bola, a usura bola. How does one define chometz? That's poshet, that a person has a blia of basar b'cholov the whole year round. Even if a person has a blia of basar b'cholov inside the pot, which is a sura, because I have the mixture of basar and cholov inside my pot, it's a blia shadissa. But basar by itself and cholov by itself is heter. There's nothing wrong with the blia shabasar and the blia shadissa. One is allowed to kasha me'ikadin from basar to cholov. If a person has a pot that it has inside it a blia shel basar, me'ikadin, a person's allowed to kasha that pot and use it lechatchila for cholov. However, there's a gzeira not to kasha from basar lecholov or mecholov lebasar, because we don't want that person should think that he's using the same pot for both. Therefore, one tries to refrain the gzeira not to kasha from basar to cholov. However, when it comes to kasha for Pesach, which one's kashering al zechomet sheboy, then there's no problem to kasha from basar to cholov. Even though the bliya usually should be a bliya shereta, what should be the problem? Why should I kasha it? Should be chachilat ki kashing. When it comes to the whole year round, one's machmeh not to kasha from basar to cholov. When it comes to Pesach, which you're doing it for a different reason, you're doing it outside olas kelim to get rid of your chometz dekibliya, that agola wasn't done for basar lecholov, it was done in order to get rid of your chometz dekibliya. At that same time, you're doing it to get rid of your chometz dekibliya, you're allowed to change your pot from basar lecholov. Mishabura says there's another, and Mishabura writes in another place, not because Pesach, that's also a way the whole year round, a person can make this pot treif. A person has a pot that's basar and wants to kasher it to cholov, he makes it treif, then that way around, he can kash it from basar to cholov. He's not changing from basar to cholov. It doesn't belong in that gezeira. However, when it comes to Pesach, one's allowed to change from basar to cholov. But the rest of the year, one has to be machmir. And on Pesach, when we're discussing the blia of Pesach is a blia which lachatil we take on as a blia shelisura. What's a nafkimina? A lot of nafkiminas. One of the nafkiminas is that it says the beginning of Siman Tov Nun Aleph, that really, if a person has a keli that is used for tzeinen the whole year round, it's a keli that's used only for cold. If it comes to and only mir tashmishoy is used for hot, then lechatchila we take on if it's einu ben yoimoy, you're allowed to use it without any problem. Ben yoimoy means that I've got a blia which is a good blia. Einu ben yoimoy has a blia which is less than time lefgam. A blia which is less than time lefgam is only also midrabbanon. And therefore, if Rav Tashmishoy is betzainen, Rav Tashmishoy, this keli is used cold, Chazal din Asa, that when Machayev Bechlal, that this keli should be used, should have an agola. So if a person's got a glass, let's say, and the glass was used by a goy once for hot, but this glass is generally used cold, he's allowed to use that glass, it doesn't have to have a chasha, it doesn't have to worry about that bli over there. If it's any ben yoimoy, Eni ben yoimoy is ikadin mutar. The whole reason why we ask eni ben yoimoy is otu ben yoimoy. If roif tashmishoy is betzainen, then chazal din asrit. When it comes to Pesach, the loch is not like that. The loch when it comes to Pesach is even if you got a keli that's used betzainen, but and roif tashmishoy is not bechamim only betzainen. Nevertheless, if mir tashmishoy is bechamim, mechayish for that belia of chometz, which was is there in the keli, which is the inu ben yoimoy, and the asa that keli, which is really a double chumra. Number one, it's a nesim time lefgam. We're talking about a keli which isn't a ben yoimoy to start off with, and besides that, we're talking about that's reif tashmishoy is betzainen. So perhaps Chazal will never mechayev this sort of keli and agala. But when it comes to Pesach, we take on all the chumras, and even a keli that's used betzainen. Nevertheless, one kashes it. Chasam Sofer says, and maybe Mashman and Shabur that way around, that the chiyuv to kasha a keli that is used betzainen, also to have a chashash that for Pesach not to use it, is only if it has not mamish, it was a one-off usage. It's used as a mir, but something was used off the whole year. You use it cold, and the one-off you some chometz was got in contact with this keli when it was hot. That chazal wasn't mechayev. That doesn't belong to the gzera. It needs some sort of frequency in order to be mechayev it. Whatever the reason is, most kelim of ours, we have, if a person has a dishwasher, if a person is automatically, if he washes up the glasses, the kelim, which are usually used cold, inside the dishwasher, so automatically it's coming in contact with dishes which have chometz on it, and therefore most our kelim, or in the sink, where you're washing up hot and cold dishes together, so you can't say definitely this dish was only used for cold. Automatically it came in contact with some hot water, hot chometz, and even though that chometz in the sink is a lesson time lefgam, because it's usually mixed together with some soap, and therefore it's not a good bliya. But when it comes to, when you get to Pesach, even a dish that one usually uses is cold, Manachatchila tries to kasha. And I said the alter minig was that one used to do hagala for klei zechuches, the istaka true, that old minig was that one didn't do hagala, one put it to the iru, one put it inside three days, put it inside three times, mesles, you put inside the inside cold water, putting inside, making it kovush inside cold water three times does the same job as Hagala, and therefore would also work. However, this Eshlins, Mishabura himself, doesn't like it. Mishabura only brings down the Chochmas Adam. If a person can't, then he should do it. Mishabura finishes off very strongly that Hayes the Minig is nowadays that one doesn't kasha Klei Zechuches. Mishabura says, even Iru, one shouldn't do in a Klei Zechuches. It's taka true that one used to do it that way around, but in the olden days, where every person taka didn't have much more than one has.
Change the water every night.
Every mess less. Three times they have to change the water. After every, in the cold water for 24 hours, change the water, and then again 24 hours, and again 24 hours. Three times a mess less. You kept inside it, and you did it. Asach, that's like, nobody's being ba'ira on the altar, on the Friday Gedeus, used to do it that way around, but Mishnah Bura writes very clearly that according to the Ramah, who says one should be machmeh, the Kleis Chuches, has got a din of a Kleis Cheres, the heter of doing Ge'iru is a b'di'evet. And therefore, if one can, like nowadays, if a person can have a plastic bowl and rather than using his chuches, or a person has a nice decanter because he wants to put it on his table, for Leila Seder, what's making cheshbon is that putting it, the nice keg of the decanter on the Leila Seder really, the l'chadchilo is the best l'chadchilo not to have that nice decanter and not to do the iru hamayim on it. Because the l'chadchilo take away of his chuches is not to do even Iru. There's another problem besides that on Iru, that the Mishabur brings down Shulchan Aruch Harav, but a lot asking it, if the Chashash is, it came in contact with hot water, and that's the reason why we're doing Iru on the Klei Zechuches, that will only help if there was no Chashash of hot water. If the Chashash is that you left it, it was Kavush with Chomutz, so by leaving it Kavush now in water, it'll get rid of it. But if the reason is that came a Chashash into hot water, that's a Chashash of Bishul, and we take on Iru is not Kavush Bishul. So Mishabura does bring down the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that it works, but Chaznish and others say they don't like it. So if a person has a Shaila L'chatchila, whether or not he should go and take a Klei Zechuches and immerse it in cold water for three consecutive days and do Iru, Avada L'chatchila, according to the Mishabura, is one should try and avoid it.
Yeah, I heard the Svora, well, why did they used to use Klei Zechuches for both, for Pesach and for the year? Okay, you take the Klei Zechuches, you look at it, is there anything in it? It's clear, you can see. Then
the Bliya. You can never see a Bliya, I mean, see through is to see what the content is.
No,
not see through Bliya's, Bliya's is non-seeable.
As I opened this open, why? In a glass you can see, this glass is see-through.
Bliya's, you can never see Bliya's, I can see Bliya's.
You can't see it in the keli where it's which is dark. If it's glass, you can see it.
What does a bliya look like? What is a bliya?
It's dirt inside.
It's not that. Bliya is something that we can't see. Bliya is something which is absorbed inside and then.
That's not how they look, is it? That's not, I heard it from a person from here.
Usually the halacha is that when. Has to do kasha keli. There's a keli which is libun, and there's a keli which needs hagala. The klal is keboiloi kach poltoi. The way it goes in, that's the way it goes out. And it comes in through hagala, one takes it out through hagala. If it comes in through libun, then the Gemara says that in the Bais Hamikdash, when they had kelim over there, and even though they did the bosa on the Bais Hamikdash, and they put the shvud, they roasted the bosa of the carbon on site and on top of a gabe eish, it was a proper libun. Nevertheless, says the Gemara, that those blias that came inside the shvud, those blias only needed agola, they didn't need libun. Even though the klal is that when some blia that comes in through fire always needs libun, if it comes in through hot water, then you can do agola. So why in the Bais Hamikdash, when it came in through fire, was it good enough to do agola? Says the Gemara, because it was a terebola. When it came in, the blia from the meat inside the prong, when they put it on top of the fire, that blia came in as a blia shaleta. Only afterwards, when it turned into noisa, did it turn into a blia shalisa. And if it's a terebola, it's good enough to do agola. If something comes in as issa, Then we take on that if it came in through fire, you have to do libun. But if it came in through fire and it was muta, the time it came in, hetera bola, then it comes out even through agola. Therefore, that's one day in Shulchan Aruch, that if we take on, which is machaba, as a strong start to say that way, that if somebody did libun before Pesach on a keli, it's good enough to do agola because we take on a hetera bola. However, lechatchila, like we said, we take on chometz as isura bola. And if chometz is isura bola, meaning to say that we look at the blia of chometz that came into the pot throughout the year as being a blia shel issa, and therefore it's got all the chayma of a blia shel issa. It's not a blia shel heta, which now I'm not allowed to use. It's a blia shel issa. Therefore, if it came in through fire, you have to take it out through fire. So any keli that person did libun on has to be taken out through libun, not through agola. And that's going to be very negata as soon as we come to the Hobbs and these things. If something came in through water, hot water, you can take out through agola. Something comes in through fire, the only way to take it out is only through fire. What temperature do you need in order to take it out through fire? So something which is called libun kal, and something which is called libun chomo. The definition of the Shulchan Aruch of what's called libun kal, so in Shulchan Aruch, kelim shemshtamshim bem al yedei ha'u, kegen shvudim, v'askeloes, kiyetze bem, tzrichim libun, v'alibun hu, you put the fire to it, then there'll be sparks coming off it. Agov yesh makilim, im neslabin kol kach, shekash nisraf olav mi bachutz. Libun kal means it's hot enough that if you put some kash on it on the other side, then it's going to be set alight. That's what libun kal. And libun chomo is if you put the fire on it, then sparks come off. Now, our kalim nowadays are usually made up from materials. Even you pour a blow lamp on it, a metal, a spark will come off. But that's not what Chazal are talking about. It's not that temperature. You put the blow lamp on, and sometimes you see people soldering, and the spark comes off. And that's not the spark of the temperature. It means that it's reached such a hot temperature that it's causing it to spark. And that sort of sparks don't usually come out from our materials. If a person, even were one person were to apply a blow lamp to the sinks or to whatever something's trying, something would like to kasha, we wouldn't have that simon of Chazal of what makes a libun chomo. What makes a libun chomo? According to Moshe Feinstein, it's 300 and something degrees, 350 around there degrees. That's considered the libun chomo. It's a kula. Generally, if a person...
How does that help you? We have no way of measuring such temperatures.
We do, because a person has, we'll see, a prolific oven. And those temperatures reach 500 degrees.
No,
I suppose they do the experiments and then when you think, a normal person would know what temperature reaches. A Kli Cheres also has a big chumrah, and that is that usually when one does agola, so if a person uses the keli from the inside, so you do agola, you put water on the inside, and that caches the keli. By Kli Cheres, the way you have to do it is that you have to make, even when libun does work, you have to put the apply the temperature to the heat element to where the blia went in, and then has to reach on the other side of the keli such a hot temperature that if you were to put a straw over there, it's set alight. So if you have your keli, it usually goes on the fire, but you got the fire, so the fire element is from the outside, so you're going to have to make sure that on the inside is going to come such hot temperature where you apply the straw, that's what's going to be. And if your element's on the inside of the pot, then you have to put the element from the inside, and then the outside of the pot has to reach that temperature. By agola, there's no such halacha. By agola, the main thing is that it reaches the inside of the pot, and it goes over to the surface of the pot. Me'ikadin, when a person does agola, according, strictly speaking, the way Chazal wanted the person to do agola, if a person, Tovil, caches his keli in before Pesach, call it the day before Pesach, to be safe, a person caches his keli, and it's Einu ben Yoimoy, then that keli, he's allowed to use the chatchila on Pesach. He used that keli to make soup in it, chometz tikka soup, lokshen soup, he puts that keli, he caches inside, he doesn't need any shishim, he doesn't need, as long as it's Einu ben Yoimoy, then he takes that keli over there, and that keli over there is a nat, banat, the tera, it's alright. Even if it be a ben yom, it would also be alright if it be before the Zman Esa. Because it's taken over here, not but not the Tera. Even though we said that chometz before Pesach, if we take on the Zisura Bola, because look at the Bliya Shadissa, that's only for a Chumra, when we want to know what sort of Agolon one should do, we take on the Bliya Shadissa. But Megata, not but not means that the Bliya goes inside the pot, and that bria comes back outside into my food, and not by not when they get to chometz for Pesach, then we take it as considered a terebola. So, if a person wants to do a gola, the real way to do it would be just to put it, take any pot he has at home, put inside the fork, you got chometz like a fork, put it inside with a minimum amount of water, boiling hot water, and then you've done your agola. That would be Me'ikadin according to what Chazal wanted. However, since when a person asks, does agola after Zaman Issa, then it has to be in a Ben Yomoy. It can't be a Ben Yomoy, because after Pesach it's considered a B'liya Shel Issa, therefore we have to kasher it either in a Ben Yomoy in order to make a Reis in time Lefkam, or when you do it, it has to be shishim against what you're kashering. Now, for the only way to kasher, Chazal said, it's gzeira, not Chazal, a later gzeira. The only way one kashers kelim for Pesach is only when it's in a ben yomoy, and you need shishim against it. So, it's not good enough, aside for Pesach, aside for the rest of the year, also for machmeh, that a person has a fork that became chometz stick. The way to kasher it, it needs to be that you first make sure that the fork you're kashering is in a ben yomoy, hasn't been used for 24 hours. And you need 60 times against the size of the fork, the blia which is inside the fork, into the water you're kashering, and only then can you go ahead and kasher the fork. If it's a ben yomoy, or you don't have a shishim, we'll chatchila don't allow to kasher. Besides for that, a chumra, agab a chumra is, when it comes to Pesach, is that we kasher the pot that you're going to kasher your kelim inside it. And after you kasher all the kelim inside, then in order to use the pot on Pesach again, after kasher again. Chumra, agab a chumra, agab a chumra, when it comes to Pesach, of course, if a person didn't do the agola the way he was supposed to do it, and he has a keli that he kashered shalekidin, and wants to shayla but he can use it on Pesach, it may not be awesome for him to use it on Pesach. Hakavani, the food that touched that keli may not be awesome. But lechatchila, the way of kashering, if a person takes a keli to kasher it, has to be einu ben yomoy, plus he needs that there has to be 60 times against the b'liya shel issa, the thing, the item he's kashering 60 times against in the water, only then can he come along and kashering. So, after we've got the klolim, the bais chutz is not for agola. Etzem for agola not. If you do the shimush on a keli on the inside, then really it would be good enough to do just the inside of it, as long as it comes over the sides. The ma'aser we're doing, guns on the keli. There's enough in order to kasher keli. Kasher keli needs to be done. Doesn't have to be done all in one go. Libun other souls has to be done in one go. Kashering a keli is good enough as long as it's even. If a person does it in two halves. In order for agola to work, agola needs that the keli should be completely clean. If there's anything dirty on the outside, then it doesn't work. The Mishabura is makel on the reason why you can't have any dirt on the outside. The Mishabura goes with the reason, because if there's any dirt over there, the chometz will get stuck under the dirt, and therefore mameli you won't be able to kasher it properly. And therefore you're kashering it with the chometz inside. That's the reason Mishabura says. Others say the reason is, the Rabush says the reason is, because the dirt is poshat choitzitz. It's over there as a chatzitza to the agola you're doing. According to the Mishabura, comes out a bit cooler. The person wants to kasher his kos for Pesach, and it's got some black on the outside. And that black which is there is because it's old, the kos, hasn't been cleaned, hasn't been polished. All these things aren't a choitzitz bechlal. You don't have to polish your kelim before you take it over there. If it has rust on it, if there's chashash, that underneath the chometz, underneath the rust, there's some chometz, then it's a problem. But if a person has rust and there's no chometz over there at all, then according to the Mishabura, there's no problem to kasher such a keli.
So, what about the saucepan? You just have to let the water run over it?
The truth is, when it comes to din agola, the Mishabura says that agola, one shouldn't kasher unless there's a Talmud Chacham who's the Lashon of the Mishabura, very interesting Lashon, is a Ventura, means he's learned the halachas well when one kashers kelim. They're very, very complicated, the halachas of Hilchas Agola, and if a person kashers it by him in his own house over there, he doesn't know the halachas well enough, whether it's the pot that he's kashering in, whether it's the item that's going inside, it's never worth it. It's always worth it if a person wants to kasher, whether it's on Pesach, and the truth is, even right around the year, lots of people always call up, I kashered it like this, I did it like that, it's not worth it. These halachas of Hilchas Agolas Kelim are quite complicated. It's always worth going to somebody who knows the halachas, and in every shtot there's official places where they kasher it in order to kasher one's kelim. A lot of kelim people don't realize that they're not kasherable. A person has a mixing bowl that makes inside the dough where it makes for challah inside. They may not be a kasherable item b'chlal. People think it's exactly the same, looks the same as everything else. It may not be kasherable, but somewhere where the person makes his dough inside, he's got a more chomedic halacha, and according to some, it's not kasherable at all. So a person comes with a mixing bowl and goes to get a kasher over there. If he's at a place where somebody knows the halachas, so I'll tell you, wait, this is a mixing bowl. It may be problematic. A person comes with his urn and he has a chalas put on the outside of the urn over there without any water in between. It may be a shaila of not agola, maybe a shaila of needing libun. These shailas are very, very complicated. It's always not worth kashing one's kerim oneself. It's always worth going to somebody who knows the halachas before one kashes it.
Anyone has to,
if one has to say this, then one can. One can kasha. But
so what do you do? You fill it with water and you let it run over?
You have to first make sure that the keli is kashered beforehand, the outside keli, and then we'll make sure that the keli that you're kashering is inu ben yomo.
We're talking about just the outside keli. I mean the saucepan.
You're kashering the saucepan.
Yeah. The saucepan you want.
So a saucepan you can't kasha usually itself because we're taking there's not 60 connected the saucepan. But derech klal there's no 60 inside the saucepan connected the over doifen of a saucepan. As I stated in the poskim, depends unless it's very very wide and a low keli which is very wide. Usually they don't have 60 times against the ovi hadoifen in the inside.
If you put the whole pot inside a huge
keli. So you put inside a huge keli, but he was talking about kashering a pot itself without putting it inside the keli by boiling over. When it comes to pots, usually you don't have 60 connected. And therefore, the usual way of kashering is to take the pot and put it into a bigger pot. And the pots can say, if you can't get it in a pot, do it in two halves and do libun in the middle. But to do it by kashering it, just boiling over, usually you don't have 60 times connected. And yes, we're machme by Pesach, you have 60 times. And in a ben yemoy, in order to kasher, so it's not usually the way of kashering a pot by just letting it boil over. And therefore, you need a bigger pot when you have to go to an official place. But again, to the various items, various utensils that a person wants to kasher for Pesach. So let's start maybe with the oven, with the hobs, with the gas stoves, and move across to others. So we've learned that Klei Zchuchis is problematic, and anything which is a ben yomoy is not the lechatchila dikur way of kashering, and if it was libun, if a fire was applied to it, then the only way to kasher it is lechatchila only through a libun chomu. Lechatchila dikur way of kashering it is through libun. So now, if a person has a gas stove, and he's got the gas rings, he's got where the fire comes out, and he's got the plates gone in for it, I don't remember now, with the pan rest, and then all these are items which need to be kashered. So the pan rest, and where the flame comes out, in the Lashon of Chazal is called the Chatzuva. Chatzuva is the place where the fire comes out, and the place where the fire is coming out, Me'ikadin doesn't really need a proper kashering. Why not? For two reasons. Reason is, number one, because the fire is kashering it all the time. So even if chometz fell out of it, it kashes itself all the time. And second reason is, because when you put a pot on top of it, so generally speaking, on top of the pan rest is dry, and the pot is dry. So if the pan rest is dry, and the pot is dry, then we take on that blia doesn't go out through with ein. It doesn't go out from the bottom pot to the top pot unless there's something lach in between. But there's nothing lach in between, then it doesn't go out the bliya. So chatzuvim ikadin doesn't really need to be kashered. However, writes Rav Ozner and others that obviously in the times of Chazal, their chatzuvim must be different to ours. Because the way our pan rests over here, it goes much further away from the fire. And if a piece of chometz were to fall out onto the pan rest, it wouldn't automatically get kashered, they wouldn't automatically get burned. So if the Mufashim say, the Possum say two reasons why a pan rest doesn't need kashering, because it's kashering itself all the time, so our pan rest, which is much further away from the flame, and isn't getting kashered away, so we don't have that reason to say they got kashered straight away. So our pan rest are automatically more problematic than the pan rests that there were in the days or that the Possum are talking about. Besides for that, it seems that the pan rest is often, what they say, is covered in some material which is referred to as a klei cheres. I don't know the metzias advarim, but I would have thought it's metal with something on the outside over there. The poskim, the manenu say, it has some sort of coating often on the pan rest, which may be defined as klei cheres, and if it's klei cheres, it's something that one can't kasher only with a libun chomu. Therefore, even if we're going to say that one does, can kasher the pan rest, l'chatchila, the minig is that the pan rest one still covers afterwards, because of this chashash, that number one, it may not have the full heta of what the Possum are talking about, because further away from the fire didn't have, wasn't Bechomets, didn't get burned straight away, and also maybe covered in Kelecheres. However, if one does want to cash it, even if it is one's going to cover over with silver foil, a thick silver foil, the pan rest, the way to cash it is that you put your Shavuos blech over your pan rest, and that spreads the fire, the flame goes across completely over the pan rest, and that gets a libun. It's not going to get a libun chomu at all, but you get a libun kal. And since the pan rest, the chatzuva of Chazal, didn't really need to be kashered, therefore we'll make it for a libun kal. Whether that applies to our chatzuva nowadays is also debatable, because our chatzuva is a bit further away from the fire over there. Therefore, since we may not have the head of the Shabura says, generally one tends to cover over the chatzuva with silver foil. However, the place where the fire comes out, and that metal piece in the middle over there, that's boiling hot, and that has all the milers of Chazal, that's not covered with Klecheres, that the fire comes to it straight away, and it gets burnt straight away, that no pot is touching it, because the pan rest is above it over there, and that one doesn't have to change for Pesach. But the pieces in the middle, one can lechatchila leave over there,
the disc
in the middle doesn't need to be changed for Pesach. All the chumras that the Pesach we're talking about doesn't apply to the bit in the middle. There's two ovens, two hobs, which is very shchiach nowadays. There's the old-fashioned gases, you know, electric hobs over there, which the electric hob was, the way it worked was, instead of a gas, you had the element inside over there, it came red hot, and then your pot rests on top of a glass, which has the element at the bottom over there. Now, between the pot at the bottom and the element is a glass. Glass. Pardon?
What do you call it? Ceramic hob?
Ceramic hob is either got a din of glass or something that's non kasherable only through. Like Lechatchila, we take on for Pesach, needs a Libun Chomo. So even though when it comes to Basar B'Cholov, the rest of the year we're makel, but when it comes to Pesach, Lechatchila, one's machme, that the glass hob has got a din of Zchuchis, and the Chumra of Klei Zchuchis. They need the Libun Chomu. No gas hob reaches the temperature of a Libun Chomu. It's only a Libun Kal. So if a person's got an electric gas hob, electric hob, which gets boiling hot, and you put your pots on top of the element over there, so if the reason is they cashed it straight away, then it might be one over cashed it straight away. If the reason why it doesn't need, it doesn't come chomets thick at all, is because you're not touching it through a different keli, it's also good. But you've got sometimes where your pot wasn't all the way on the fire in the middle, you've got your pot which is in the middle of the fire, and the part of the side of the fire was where your pot wasn't over there, and it spilled over the side. Even if your pot was there, but there's a drop next to where your fire was, next to where the element got boiling hot, which didn't get kashered straight away. If a person has some lokshen, a lokshen falls on the side, it wouldn't automatically get burned. If it falls mamish where the element is, it'll get burned straight away. A drop further away from the element doesn't get burned straight away. And that, at the side over there, is something which needs a libun of a klei zchuchis, which needs a libun chomo. Therefore, even if you were to take a blech and to disperse the heat all the way across your hob, your element over there, between the person has, let's say, generally speaking, four hobs over there, and it goes across, and it put a blech down, and it put the heat all around, but that dispersing of the heat won't be more than a libun kal, it won't be a libun chomo b'chalal. And therefore, mamela, between the hobs over there, that glass in between won't get to the temperature which one needs for libun chomo, and therefore it's problematic for Pesach. So
why don't you say you take the klal of Kabbalah for this element?
Because Libun always needs the Libun Chomo. Libun always needs the top targa of Libun, which is Libun Chomo. And Mamachme also benegea to Agola. They always need to do Agola al Gabaish. Even though usually, according to the Ikadin, it would be good enough if it comes in Klesheni, you can do Klesheni. But Shukhnoch says that Mamachme, when it comes to Pesach, Lachatchila, to do every Agola, only through a clearishin. So too by Libun, Lachatchila, we take on that person has to do Libun, a Libun al Gabaish, a Libun Chomo. And that's the person has different Natarim. But the Lachatchila, the way of doing Libun is only through a Libun Chomo. So if a person has one of these hobs and a person has an electric electric hob, and he wants to do in Kashrit, when it comes to Pesach, the element itself, where the elements are, would be able to Kasher. Around the elements is more problematic. So really what one could do is to make the element boiling hot and then cover all the areas around it that it doesn't touch it at all. Then one could get away with it when you get to Pesach. Still, even then, the Pesachim say when it's an electric one, one should try to make it a bit higher, put something in between the element and where you put your pot. That's when you get to the old elements. But in the gear now, well, I forgot the name of them, the new ones over here. The
induction hob.
Induction hob works completely different. Induction hob works that there's a magnet at the bottom and there's a magnet where you put your pot at the top. And the heat only goes through the place where your pot lies. That means if a person has a ring and the pot is smaller than his ring, not a ring, the marked area where you're supposed to put your pot on, if the pot is smaller than the marked area, it'll only heat up the area where the pot is and not around it. And therefore you haven't even got the chatchiladik way of kashim. Mishabura says the reason why chatzuva is alright is for two reasons, and the first reason Mishabura says is because it kashes itself straight away when it falls down. That's only true in the old way of a chatzuva where there was a fire, or at least the element, the old way was the electric element, so it was boiling hot, so if it fell onto the element it kashes straight away. But this way, when a person has his pot, has a small pot and it's a larger area, it's only heating up where your area is. So you've had your pot over there and you've got boiling hot chometz falling down onto the side of your pot, and that's really the place where the element is, but you haven't put your pot over there, and therefore it hasn't heated up. If somebody doesn't have one of these induction hobs at home, it's hard to understand. The way it works is that you have four markings, the same as the old hobs, you have four markings on your hob over there, and it only heats up the area where your pot is. The chochmah of it is that as soon as you take it off, it doesn't actually, there's no heat over there, and as soon as you move it off, it's cold, because really the element itself doesn't get hot. It just makes a magnetic current from the bottom to your pot, and that's the way your pot heats up. It's not that the glass is heated up, it's not even going through the glass.
That's it, close to my area in a way, because the hot food that falls onto it is falling onto a cold surface.
But no, it's boiling hot food falling onto the cold surface. Boiling hot food, food that came out, boiling hot through living over there, doesn't go to the cold surface. And therefore, an induction hob is almost the whole year round. A person should lachatchila, the posuk is my name, will say, the whole year round, the person has an induction hob, should be machmi to have a separate hob for milchig and fleishig. People think that the same way that you have a hob, the old gas stove, you can use the same one for milchig and fleishig, the same applies to induction hob. Induction hob is not that way around. Induction hob, lachatchila, one should have a separate one for milchig and fleishig. Because for this reason, there's something falling out, and it's falling down onto the element, it's boiling hot, and it doesn't kasher itself. And therefore you think that, no, I'll put it onto the element, and automatically it's kashering itself. It's not true, it doesn't kasher itself, it only kashers where your pot is. And therefore, a chatchila one the whole year around should be machmir. When it comes to Pesach, if a person wants to use his induction hob, the only way the person says the chatchila to use it is to mark, put a silver foil, thick few layers of silver foil right round your hob, and the place where you usually put your pots on over there, put some, you can buy these magnetic things that make that your hob will imagine that there's a pot over there, then you're not putting direct a pot onto the element itself. You've got another magnetic sheet that goes between your pot and lies on the induction hob. That way, they'll be able to create a current, but nevertheless, your pot's not sitting on the induction hob itself. If a person can't do that, then it comes to Pesach, Mechatchila, one shouldn't use an induction hob. The other pots, the other gas stoves, one can use a Pesach. Induction hob, Mechatchila, one try not to use a Pesach. If it's electric gas stoves, then one can't use it by dispersing the heat. So a person should put silver foil all around, make those elements boiling hot, and Mechatchila still put something between the element and the base. That's when they get to the hobs. When it comes to ovens, a lot of people have nowadays the ovens, which are self-cleaning ovens. Self-cleaning ovens reach temperatures of be'erach 500 degrees, which is be'emes alibun chomo, and that should really be a lechatchila. The problem with these ovens are that often there's chomets on the outside of the glass, that means the glass itself has a libun chomo, but there's two layers of glass. When this oven's boiling hot, you're not touching the same glass, there's two sheets of glass with a gap in between. And between those two sheets of glass, there's often chometz which gets accumulated over there. In the old ovens, the first versions of these ovens, was harder to clean them. In the more modern ones, you can take it apart and take the glass out. If you can take the glass out, then you haven't got that problem. In the older ones, which was hard to clean between the two glasses, the person has to be very careful to make sure that there's no chametz left between the two layers of the door.
How do you get the kasher of the glass?
No, it's only the inner one that needs kashering, and we put at that temperature, it doesn't need kashering. If you put the oven on boiling hot, it gets boiling hot, that glass also gets. The inner glass gets boiling hot through the temperature. When you put it on the self-clean, that 500 degrees causes that the glass should also get boiling hot. It kashers the glass.
Make sure
there's nothing between the inner glass and the outer glass.
As long as it's clean.
As long as it's completely clean, then you have to keep between the two glasses.
If it's dirty, it won't get kashered properly.
It won't get kashered. Nothing will happen to it. The heat only goes till the inner glass. It doesn't go past the inner glass. You've got two glasses, and the heat only goes inside the oven. Between the glass. If you clean nothing there, that's as far as the glass is concerned.
You don't have to kasher the outside glass. You just have to make sure
it's clean. You're not kashering the outside of the oven, the outer glass over there. Only the inner one, yeah. But there's another problem, which is that the newer ovens are much better than the older ones. The older ovens had a sort of the newer ones are rubber seals. The older one had something that could come out after a few times of using it. They would come out from the oven, it could come apart over there, and a lot of chomets would get gathered around the side of the inside of this, protected to make sure that the heat doesn't go out. And when you kasher the oven, it didn't kasher the seal of the oven at all. It kasher the inside, but it didn't kasher the thing was to insulate that the temperature shouldn't go out, shouldn't be lost at the seal of the oven. So the older ones, there was a way to do it, that you could pull out the whole thing and buy a new one, a replacement for Pesach. If one could do that, then it's ganz lechatchila. If one can't do that, then one has to try and make sure that this rubber is cleaned as well as possible before you do yourself clean. Before you do yourself clean, you make it pogum and you apply to it sprays that will make sure that there is any chometz. That chometz is completely pogum. And then afterwards, one kashers the oven, then one can use the oven on Pesach. However, Rabbi Osher was very worried about the flu of the oven. In most places around the world, the flu wasn't such an issue because they held the chometz, which was then the flu, didn't go back into the oven itself. Rabbi Osher and his huntress, is on Hilchos Pesach, was very strong that the chometz that's then the flu doesn't get kashered, and therefore you've got air coming in from the flu chometz, which is being heated. You've got an element, and in the flu over there, you got some chometz, and that air which is coming from the chometz behind is coming back inside and being heated through the generator of the chometz de kavi over there. Therefore, if one wants to be chayish for that, then the way to do it is to cover whatever you put inside your oven with a double wrap. The oven itself is kosher, and you double seal your food inside it, which you do on Pesach over there, then it's ganz lechatchila. Well, nobody's going to say the shiur that lechatchila one should use the same oven for chometz and Pesach. I don't know whether because halachadik, or whether because masayridik, or because one's not used to it that way around, but if a person asks halacha lemaaseh, he's got one of these self-clean ovens, and he did everything right, and he covers it inside with a double seal on Pesach, it's kind of like a chiller way of using these ovens for Pesach. When you get to kashering one's sinks and one's elements, also, what's the chashash of a sink? If a person has a ceramic sink or has a sink that's a chashash of earthenware, then by etzem, we take on, one can't kasher it. And if it has glass on the outside, lechatchila also, a ceramic, a glazing, also lechatchila, one can't kasher it when it comes to Pesach. However, what's the chashash of chometz over there? Nobody puts a clay rishon. It's not a clay rishon, take a chashash. Usually the chashash is that something hot spilt on it, the iru from a clay rishon, that the most spilt on boiling hot inside your sink. Sometimes a person has a tov gush, which sits inside it. If a person has a hot lokshen, which sits on it, that would be the same of equivalent of a clearishin. That happening is also only a chumrah because it's only a miyut, the muted tashmishai, a very miyut of tashmishai. So if a person is kashering his sinks, generally speaking, it's good enough to use an iru in order to kash his sinks. However, lechatchila, when one kashes anything, one tries to make lechatchila, it should be a clearishin when kashing it. Clearishin means the pot that was on the fire itself. Clearishin al gabeish, that's the best way of kashering. You've got clearishin which isn't al gabeish, which is still boiling, that's a clearishin. If a person wants to kasher, well, machmed, and lechatchila, one should only kasher with a clearishin. How does one kasher one sinks in order to make it, that when you're kashering, it should still be a clearishin? So the way the Shulchan Aruch says it is that you take a stone and you pour on top of that stone, therefore, when it comes out from the pot that you're pouring from, on top of the stone. The reason why Iru isn't a lechatchila is because you take on it cools after it's come out of your pot, before it touches the element that you're trying to kasha. But if you've got a stone over there, a boiling hot stone, which is red hot, and you're pouring the water onto the stone, so it's being reheated again before it's touching your sink. So you've got a stone over there, I'm pouring it in my pot on top of the stone onto my sink. So it's coming boiling hot onto my sink. Then it would be a way to, even though it's an iru, one does allow to kasha that way around. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman that one has a kettle, and the kettle is still boiling hot, even though you're pouring out of the kettle, but it's pouring out of the kettle where the element's just over there, next to the place where you're kashing, because you've still got it on and it's boiling and it's coming out. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's the equivalent or even better than doing kashering on top of a stone. You're pouring out from the element itself. I've got the element, the skewer is still on the fire, I've got pouring out from my kettle. And
the kettle still has to be on the base. The element should be on.
So it depends. If you have a portable kettle, then you have to take it together with the base. So you have a kettle, that's a plug-in kettle, together with you. So either in order to make a lechatchilatik way of kashering, and it's an iru, you're pouring, the only way to do it is either you put a stone over there, a boiling hot stone, and you're pouring on top of it, or the way you do it is you've got your kettle, while it's still boiling, you pour it on top of your sink, like this. It's considered that you're pouring not an iru, you're pouring out from a pot, you're pouring whilst it's still and it's attached to its element. That's considered agola, not of a iru, agola of a kliushin, and that's the way one kashas. So if a person has to kasha the sinks, the way to do it is in order to take the kettle, make sure the kettle is still plugged in, whilst it's still boiling, to go and kasha the sink. That's the lechatchila dika way of kashering. If a person does now, our kashering is really, one doesn't use the sinks itself in any case. One kashes the sinks and puts an element inside the sink, either silver foil or a bowl inside it. And all you put the silver foil inside it, you're not putting a boiling hot pot inside the sink. And if it is going inside the sink, but then it's going between another layer. It's got a layer of silver foil and a layer somewhere between the sink. And the sink doesn't really need kashering lechatchila because most of it is done cold. And it's not a ben yoyim when it comes to Pesach. It's an essence time of gam. So a person putting it into perspective, the sink isn't the worst area. However, we are machmeh on Pesach for Nesan Tam Levgam. We are machmeh that everything needs a klerushin. We are machmeh that Iru hasn't got a din of a klerushin. We are machmeh that even Meir Tashmishay needs a gola. So put all that together, then the lechatchila way to kasha one sink is to make sure that one kashes it whilst the element is still boiling, and then only afterwards puts the silver foil inside. When kashering the taps, the drainage over there, drainage is the big, big problem, because often it gets blocked in Pesach. Befrat those people who have inserts inside their sink, gets blocked at the bottom, and then the water comes out from Pesach, and all chomets that's gathered at the bottom, which you thought you didn't realize was there, that chomets all of a sudden starts coming out from Pesach. Therefore, before Pesach, one must, this is a very big must, to make sure one pours bleach down the sink, to make sure that the chomets that's there inside the sink becomes in a roll achila in ganzen. Chometz on Pesach, people think you can get rid of pouring bleach on it. It doesn't help on Pesach. Making it in a roll achila only helps before Pesach. Chometz on Pesach, the only way to get rid of it is b'sreifa. But before Pesach, it helps make it in a roll achila. You're worried about any bleas coming up inside over here. One must make sure that in the sink it become a complete pogum in a row for anything at all, like even that there's a nitzik, anything's attacked, or the hot water's attaching the chomets, which is all the way at the bottom, to inside my insert. Probably it's going to be cold and probably be different aterium, but one has to make sure to pour bleach down to make sure that what's inside the sink is in a row achila. B'chein, when one kashes, one taps, there's always a chashash that the blia went from either the inside and on both sides of the tap. You got the inside of the tap and the outside of the tap. And if it's attached to the pot, and sometimes there's chomets inside, it may need, through nitz of chibur, that the tap itself also needs, the inside of the tap needs kashering. And therefore, when one kashes for Pesach, one has to make sure that the hot water is running, not only on the outside. The chatchiladik way of kashering the tap is that when you pour the hot water on the tap, you make sure that not only there's hot water on the outside, there's hot water coming from the inside of the tap also. So the chatchiladik way of kashing one tap is whilst there's hot water running from the inside, to kasha the outside. And the same as all other chumas on Pesach, when one doesn't kasha ben yomai, One has to make sure, lechatchila, before one kashes on Pesach, that the chometz wasn't used for mesles, for chometz, for hot chometz. So, the kashing in one sink, one has to make sure, lechatchila, wasn't used for hot chometz within 24 hours before kashing it. Then, one pours down inside to make sure that the blias on the inside, anything that is inside, comes in gantz and pogum. Any band that's inside comes against some pogum. Then one starts kashing from the bottom upwards. Make sure it's cold beforehand. Then one pours cold water on also after kashing. And then whilst kashing, make sure that it's joined to the element.
If you already kash at the bottom, you think, can I turn the hot water tap on? You can start to bring out hot.
Yeah, but you're right. The best way really would be to do the tap first before letting that tap water coming inside the sink. But then you're going to have a problem. That blia that comes inside the tap is also a little bit younger before you start. It's only about
Chomza
Pesach.
Catch the sink.
Catch the sink and afterwards to do the top. Yeah, because afterwards you've got hot water coming inside the sink over there, so it won't be dry.
And then pour the boiling water.
And then pour the film onto the tap itself, yeah. First in the base up when everything's cold and then one goes upwards, yeah. When it get to teeth, when it get to ones on Pesach, it's something which isn't brought down in the earlier poskim, but something which the poskim is Manenu, Shem Zaman, and others discuss Barucha. When a person has either false teeth or a person's got fillings inside his teeth, strictly speaking, you've got a piece of metal inside, and we take a person has a Dovah Chorif. Dovah Chorif takes on, it makes the even something which is usually Nesim Tam Rifgam. Person has a nesim tam rifgam means it's over a mesles, it's old blia, but the person uses a knife, a flashing knife which hasn't been used for a few months, but he cuts an onion with it, a dovah chorif revives, it gives extra life to that blia which is old blia, and it becomes problematic. So if a person has a dovah chorif in his mouth on Pesach and has fillings, and the fillings are absorbed from chometz lika blias, those chometz lika blias could really be quite problematic when it comes to Pesach. However, says Rav Shlem Zalman, says others, there's common akudas which, when the whole year round, one relies on in order to be makel. Number one, we take on the tenesim tam lifgam. We take on that the saliva inside a person's mouth makes that all the food that goes in is already, before it goes in, it's already considered a damaged blia. Number two, generally speaking, one doesn't have yatzeleder stickier temperatures inside one's mouth. Hot water, boiling hot, the temperature of Yatzeleh, this one generally doesn't have in one's mouth. One does have chometz, which is a davar gush, in one's mouth. So the rest of the year, one is a makar. When it comes to Pesach, the chatchila take a way of making sure that a person doesn't have any problems or blias in line with the other chometz that one does for Pesach. It's appropriate that one doesn't have hot chometz for 24 hours before Pesach, in order to make sure that the fillings that one has in one's mouth is a nesim tam nifgam. Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Ozna, all of them say the same thing.
What's called hot?
Hot is whatever temperature one has chometz the rest of the year. Really, yatzeledes, a boiling hot, but you have hot food. If it would be hot water, you don't usually have yatzeledes. And you have really, really hot coffee together with some mazonis in the mouth at the same time. But chometz, like a food, is very easy to get boiling hot. The person has a piece of lokshon, a hot lokshon over there. I think it'll be yatzeledes in the pan. 24 hours before the Zman Issa. The Chatchila says Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Shem Zaman, and Vosna, all of them, one should try and be machmir to make sure that one doesn't have hot chometz inside one's mouth. It's not Zach which is brought down in the Friedrich Poskim, but in the Poskim Zmanelu. So if a person can, and one should try and avoid those areas to make sure not to have chum. This year, it's on Shabbos, so Friday night, a person has hot soup and he has b'sachala in his mouth at the same time. You should be aware that having the chometz in his mouth at the same time, make sure that the chometz is gone before one has hot coffee. Those who are machmir to make sure not to have hot chometz within 24 hours, should make sure that even if it's not after hot chometz, but hot drink, there shouldn't be chometz in the mouth at the same time. Say that.
There's a kettle there. Very careful. Leave a bit of water in. Yeah.